remote air that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely, thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early, and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. Today is Friday, May 12th, 2017. And today we're going to continue our Remnant series, and we're going to talk about being preserved, which is really a lead-in to episode number 5, which will be more specifically about faith. And we're trying to do live video, or not live video, but I am recording video on the fly, so we're giving this a shot as well this morning, so I don't know how that'll turn out. But either way, the audio is going to turn out as normal, because it's being recorded the same way. And so I thank you for joining me this morning. Now, like I said, today we're going to be talking about God's hand of protection or preservation of the remnant, and I have to preface this by saying, you know, I don't believe this means that we don't see tough times, that we don't see even tribulation and great testing and even unimaginable suffering. You just look at our brothers and sisters in Syria and other parts of the Middle East and other parts of the world right now. I mean, how many Christian men? And, you know, I'm sorry to be graphic, but we have to wake up to reality here. How many Christian men have been forced to watch their wives gang raped by dozens of barbarians and then butchered before their eyes and watch their children sawed in half and have been beheaded and buried alive? How many Christian women have watched their husbands, you know, get beheaded and crucified and murdered, and then they themselves are forced into horrific sex slavery? Which things are unimaginable. Those things are happening around the world, and especially in nations in the Middle East. You know, this is incomprehensible, but it's happening. And, you know, one thing that's true is if we're not careful, we can find ourselves being tempted with the question, how could God, right? How could God allow such a thing? How could he allow this, allow such suffering? And, you know, I don't have a great answer for that, but the scriptures do speak to suffering for Christ, and that there's great reward, there's ruling and reigning with him, there's being heirs with him in the kingdom if we suffer. If you go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 12, and I'll try to switch it over on the monitor here. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. By the way, who's the sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit. verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, catch that, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul's saying, you know, even though we're suffering, it's not even comparable. You know, the suffering that you're going through right now, it doesn't even compare to the glory that's coming. And unfortunately, we can't see the glory that's coming. We can't comprehend or understand. All we have is this life, this world that we're living in. And so that's why we have to be people of faith and why we trust the Bible. Because if we go by our own feelings and our own thoughts, then those things, you know, don't line up. But those things are happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And yet the church here in America completely ignores it and says to itself, I sit as a queen. I'll never see suffering. Sounds familiar, right? I hear preachers and teachers talking all the time, saying, we won't go through any of these things. God isn't going to let his bride get beat up or raped or forced to watch their kids dashed to pieces. And my response to that is, are you sure? Because that sounds a lot like what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Are you sure? Christian persecution is reaching all-time highs. Does God just adore us, adore the people in the West, but then hate those people? Or are we misunderstanding? You know, I really think it's time to start unlearning all the lies of the New Age, churchianity, and prophecy teachers, folks. And the more I read the Bible, the more I study it every single day, the more I realize what's being taught versus what's actually in the book are two different things. With all that said, you know, I believe that God has an appointed time with mankind, and a time when he's going to complete his wrath, it's going to be poured out on the ungodly. We are not appointed to wrath, it says. It's going to be poured out on the ungodly when he's going to repay the wickedness, when he's going to avenge the saints. I mean, you see the saints crying out in the book of Revelation right in the very beginning. I believe it's chapter 3 or 4. And we're covering the book of Revelation on Tuesdays if you're new to the broadcast. And he says, how long, they say, you know, they're under the altar. They've been slain for his name's sake. And they say, how long, O Lord, holy and true, till you avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? And Jesus says, not till the full number that are to be killed like you have been are brought in. So God's appointed people to suffer for his name's sake. I mean, do pastors and teachers and prophecy teachers just ignore these passages? Oh, these are just tribulation saints, they'll say. Are you sure? What are you basing that on? Is it based on solid scripture evidence, or is that man's doctrine? You know, with all that said, what I wanted to say is I believe his hand of protection will be upon his people. And I think he's going to be doing great exploits in these last days with his people. Maybe even a lot like the time of Exodus, and we see some examples of that. Now, we see it in Revelation 12. I'll cover that here in a minute. But if you go to Habakkuk, let me switch my screen back over here to the scriptures here. If you go to the book of Habakkuk, which is one of my favorite books, and it's a book for today if I've ever seen one. But if you go to Habakkuk chapter 3, Although I like this scripture right here, very beginning of chapter 2. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. But if we go to chapter 3, verse 2. You know, because, well, let me just read it. It says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of the years, make known. And in wrath, remember mercy. What Habakkuk is saying here is revive your work. He's saying, I've heard, you know, I've heard thy speech. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In other words, you know, I've heard the stories and I'm afraid. You know, what stories would Habakkuk have heard about? You know, he would have heard about the Exodus, the great Exodus, and parting of the Red Sea. He would have heard about Noah and the Ark and how God did those miraculous things. And he say, revive your work in the midst of these years, right? And that's something that I'm really kind of praying as well, too. You know, do these things in our days. Revive your work in our days. Do these great exploits in our days. And I believe that he's going to. If we go to Revelation chapter 12, and of course there's all kinds of interesting things going around about Revelation chapter 12, but let's just focus in on this. And it says, let's just read verses 7 through 17 here, 10 verses. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they look at this. And they loved not their lives unto death. The scriptures don't say, don't worry, you're never going to be uncomfortable. It actually says, don't love your life unto death. Verse 12, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. See, she's taken away into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. So we see some protection for some of God's people. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, which I believe is talking about military armies. And I explain that in my study in Revelation chapter 12, which you can go listen to on YouTube, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So we see a picture of some protection, but then he goes, but there's more that aren't protected, as we see here. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we get an explanation of, you know, kind of what it looks like to be remnant. They keep the commandments of God. They keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. But the point I wanted to focus in on is, you know, there were some that were taken away into a wilderness where they were protected and nourished. And the scriptures that you heard at the very beginning were from Zephaniah chapter 3. And I'm going to read those to you as well. Not the whole thing, just I want to focus in on one part. Because, you know, one thing that we're you know, at least I'm doing right now, and I think people who are awake and paying attention are doing, is we're looking at what's going on and we're saying, Lord, when are you going to fulfill your promises? When are you going to do something about all this evil that's before us? You know, Habakkuk, in the book Habakkuk, we were just talking about that. In the very first chapter, he says, how long, O Lord, are you going to make me look at sin? Are you going to make me stare at this filth? You know, how long before you do something because nobody cares about your law anymore? You know, justice never goes forth. It's, as a matter of fact, it's perverse. There's violence in the streets. You know, that's the kind of thing that's coming into my heart these days. You know, how long, O Lord, when are you going to deal with this? Just, it's everywhere, this evil. And there's a lot of times in the scriptures where God says, wait on me. Wait on me. I'm getting ready to do something crazy. He even tells Habakkuk, I'm going to do something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if you were told. Even if I told you, I've got to go to the scriptures. Habakkuk chapter 1 says this, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou will not hear? Even cry unto thee violence, and thou will not save. Why does this show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never goes forth. For the wicked do compass around the righteous. In other words, the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore wrong judgments proceedeth. And here's the Lord's answer. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye would not believe, though it be told to you. God's saying, even if I told you what I'm getting ready to do, which I, you know, you wouldn't believe it. What I'm getting ready to do is going to be so great, so marvelous, so out there. You won't believe it even if I tell you. You know, there's things that's going to happen in the last days. It's in the book of Revelation that John was told not to even write it down. Right? Listen, we have to be okay with the fact that God has some mysteries. And he hasn't revealed everything. And even the things we see in the book of Revelation, they're not going to make sense to us until we see them in real life. We can go through there and we can pretend and act like we've got it figured out, but we don't, folks. And anybody who stands up there and says, you know, I've got this all figured out, it's real easy to understand. It's not as hard to understand as some people make it out to be. But as far as exactly how the events will unfold, I think it's going to be best understood in hindsight. But my point is this, you know, we may be having the mentality of Habakkuk, and we might be saying, how long, O Lord? How much longer? You know, when are you going to do something? And maybe what he's saying to us right now is, I am getting ready to do something. It's going to be crazy. You wouldn't believe it even if I told you. You need to wait on me, though. He says that. Let's go to the book of Zephaniah for an example of that. So Zephaniah chapter 3. And if we go down to verse 8, he says this, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them my indignation. The word indignation means wrath. Even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. He's saying, wait on me, because I'm getting ready to blow this place up. I mean, that's what he's saying, right? Wait on me. It's coming. I'm going to gather all the nations, and I'm going to pour out my wrath, my fierce anger, and I'm going to devour them. He's not talking about his own people. He's talking about them. That's why he's telling you, wait on me. I know it looks bad out there, and some really unjust things are happening, some really disgusting things are happening, and evil things are happening, but I got a plan for that. Those people who are suffering for me are going to be, you know, it's not even going to compare to what they're going to have on the other side of this. They're going to reign with me. They're going to be joint heirs with me. I'm going to do something about this. Now, how long? I don't know. That's why Habakkuk says that. How long? How long, O Lord? Because this has been going on for a long time. How long? And he says, he doesn't say exactly when. He just says, I'm going to do a work in your days. In your days. Something, side note. I've been talking to you guys about Hebrew. Hebrew stuff, and yeah, there's been some expressed interest in this. By the way, on my website, there's a link to Hallelujah Scriptures. They're registering people right now. When they have enough, they're going to start sending out basic beginner lessons. And I think they're going to send out flashcards, too, if you want to memorize the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. You can sign up for, I believe it's $25, or for free if you can't afford it. So it's $25 for those who want to donate to support everybody else. Just letting you know that that exists. But in regards to Hebrew, we're looking at Zephaniah 3:8. It's the only passage in the Bible that includes every single Hebrew letter within that one passage, including the final forms of the letters. And you might say, well, why does that matter? Well, in the Hebrew language, each letter means something. Each letter has a meaning. There's a picture that's associated with it. There's a meaning that's associated with it. And, you know, that's the way it used to be read. And you'll find a lot of, old manuscripts or drawings or pottery. And there's not even spaces between words or anything. It's just all the letters ran together. And you can, you know, there are a lot of people believe that the alphabet itself, from the very first letter Aleph till the last letter Tav, says one long thing, and it all points to the Messiah. As an example, if you're watching the video here on YouTube, assuming that it all turns out right, I'll just show you a couple. This right here is the old pictograph Hebrew of the Yod, and it looks like a man's hand or an arm. It has to do with, you know, working or throwing, or, you know, there's, depending on the context of what's going on in the story, but that picture meant something. Resh, which is kind of like the R sound, is a picture of a man's head, has to do with thoughts, headship. Aleph, and this will be the last one I show you here. Aleph, picture of an ox head, has to do with the father. We talk about the Aleph and the Tav, has to do with the beginning, has to do with being yoked, headship, strength, power, like all these things mean something. And so I was doing some Hebrew studies the other day, and that's how I came across this passage in Zephaniah, which led to part of the conversation today. But I thought, that's interesting that all those would be in this passage. And what's interesting about it is the following passage says this. So we have the only passage where that includes every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet, followed by verse 9, which says, "For then I will return to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." I found that interesting. And for those of you who study Hebrew, maybe you'll find that interesting, that there's a passage that includes every single Hebrew letter, and it's followed by, hey, I'm going to restore my pure language so that everybody can call upon my name correctly. And I just thought that was very, very interesting. But we're talking about waiting on God and how he's able to protect his people even in the midst of doing wrath and all of that. And 2 Peter tells us this. Let me get it pulled up here. 2 Peter. Verses 9 through 12 say this. "For then will I turn to the people..." Oops, I'm still reading the wrong thing. Sorry about that. This is what I don't like about a digital. I like to just read straight out of the Bible. 9 through 12. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." He's saying he knows how to take care of those, how to deliver the godly, while at the same time reserving the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. "But chiefly then to walk after the lust and the lust of uncleanliness, and despise government. It's, by the way, it's talking about God's government, not like, you know, I hate communism or something. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evils of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. God knows how to deliver his people in the midst of judgment, if we're willing to wait on him. I want to show you one more that kind of shows the same example. God's hand of protection upon his remnant during the time of his wrath. If you go to Isaiah, go to chapter 26. Go to verse 16. It says, Lord, in trouble they have visited thee. They poured out prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draw near to the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out of her pangs, so we have been in the sight of the Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind, we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. It's a he's giving you a picture of, you know, birth pains. This thing's getting bad. You know, things, we're still in pain. Things, we haven't been delivered. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. You know, they continue to prosper. Thy dead men shall live. That kind of sounds like the resurrection, doesn't it? Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So we're talking about there's going to be a resurrection. And then he says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation, that is the wrath, be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. God knows how to protect his people. And, you know, the whole point of today's show was to say, you know, it does, you know, it looks bad out there. And we started the show with talking about, hey, here's the reality of some of the things going on. And while we are not appointed to God's wrath, like we see here described in Isaiah, that he's going to pour out on the world to punish the inhabitants of the earth, we are not immune to terrible trials and tribulations and troubles of this world. You're going to be hated. The Bible says very clearly that if you seek to live righteously, you're going to be persecuted. And a lot of the persecution comes from religious people. Because when you are a light, like cockroaches, you know, they want to scatter. They don't want to be, this is why you're lonely when you live in righteousness, because they don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to hear to them what you call freedom, which is, I get to walk in God's ways. He teaches me and shows me how to do it, and I get to be in a closer relationship with him and with Jesus. To them, that's bondage. They'll say, well, that's bondage. You know, to them, freedom is walking in sin and living in Babylon with a big smile on their face. And, you know, the scriptures say, come out of Babylon, lest you partake in her sins and in her plagues. Those who don't come out, they're going to join, you know, those who want to be part of Babylon, they're going to join Babylon in judgment. I mean, that's what the scriptures are saying. We have to persevere in the faith. You have to finish. The Bible says those who finish persevere till the end will be saved. How you finish is so much more important than how you start. It doesn't do much good to start really well and then to not finish. We have to wait upon the Lord. We have to persevere. We have to understand. We have to settle it in our mind that that might cost us everything, including our own lives. That's what the scriptures say. Love not your life to death. Jesus said those who wish to save their lives will lose it. And those who are willing to lose it will save it. This is not a happy message of, you know, oh, life's going to be great. Here's some scriptures. You know, here's how to live a happy life. Everything's going to be one. I'm sorry. That's just not reality. It's just not true. It's just not in the scriptures. Now, like I said, what I'm looking forward to and what I'm expecting once the end really takes off is God's mighty hand of protection and great miracles, and I think there's going to be great exploits. There's going to be things going on, and punishments coming upon the ungodly, and the remnant's going to be like, wow, God is who he says he is. I'm telling you, those days are coming. Those days are coming very, very soon. The question we have to ask is, are we able to persevere up until that point? Are we able and willing to wait on the Lord? That's the podcast for this morning. I hope that it's blessed you in some way. Let me know what you think about the video, assuming that it gets uploaded. Hopefully it turned out pretty well. I want to thank those of you who support the mission of truth. You know, if this is blessing to you, if this is feeding you spiritually and you want to support me and you want to support the mission, you can go to the website, scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a tab at the top or on the side that says donate. You can either donate, or we could really use Patreon subscribers, and you can subscribe at any dollar amount. There's also a P.O. box if you want to mail me stuff. Somebody mailed me a couple of these, if you can see this in the camera, silver maples. It's been a long time since I actually picked up any silver, so I just want to say thank you for sending that to me. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a long time since I've acquired any silver, and a lot of the silver that I acquired is what you would call dirty silver. It's not official mint, official like government minted stuff. Most of it's from my Silvertown days. So thank you for that. I actually sent two of them. But that's how you can support the mission of truth. And I really appreciate those of you who've helped and who keep this thing going, and who send encouraging messages and things of that nature. And I pray that this continues to be a blessing to you. And I pray that this morning's message was a blessing to you as well. It's one of those that was kind of all over the place. And but hopefully the point went forth that we need to wait on the Lord, and that he's not slack. He's the way that we think of slackness. He's just not willing that any should perish. He's hoping that all come to repentance. But the day is coming when he's going to avenge those who've been mistreated, and all those things are going to come to pass, just like he said they would. And it's going to be marvelous in a way that we couldn't even imagine. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless you.